Yeah, well, it just, I don't know. I just like it. There's a few things that I really, really like, and this is one of them. I don't know. I mean, it's just, now, don't get me wrong, it needs to be here, obviously, but it's just something about it. When I come in and I see that, I've come down here a lot of times and just, you know, it's just kind of like I want to just get it on me. You know what I mean? Just get it on me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise him, praise him. How many of y'all have read this little book? Well, I tell you the honest truth. I started reading this thing, and I could read the thing to you verbatim. I mean, it's hard. I never tried to teach something that every word, I mean, it's like, can I skip that? I about got everything colored. It's either yellow or green or red. I mean, I've got the color of this book that I think I've ever had, but I'm going to start off this morning or this evening and read you something that actually came from another book on the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. And several of us read this book here a couple, two or three years ago. And this page I have kept in this Bible. And I just want to start off because honestly, without reading that book to you, I'm not sure where we're going. So I know I'm going to get that book in a minute, and we're going to look at every page. Because Terry Pearson, she's a she. She wrote it better than I can say it. I just, the more I read it, the more I wanted to go, well, gosh, I got to read. I can't leave that out. And I don't know if I can remember all of this because it'd be like remembering four or five pages. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. Anyway, we'll just get on with it. This is from a book named The Walk of the Spirit. And why did God send the Holy Spirit? Now, you do know that that's really what we're talking about today. Tonight, everything that we're going to talk about is about the Holy Spirit. It's about the, as they say, the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, when I saw those pictures a while ago that my niece sent me, one of the things that they said was, God has prevented this child from, she could have died. She is bitten in the throat, and she's all over, it's all over the two main jugglers and the other one, I don't remember the name of it. But anyway, she could have died. She could have bled to death. And God has just prevented that whole thing, and hallelujah. That's all I can say. But anyway, I want to read this to you, and this is about the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like what Terry is writing here. Why did God send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you? That's a pretty good question now. And I mean, I do know one thing. I need all the help I can get. And most of y'all that know me that I need some help. So, you know, that's my claim to fame there. So he could change you into the image of his son. In order to accomplish that goal, the Holy Spirit brought his own prayer language with him so when he could pray for all that concerns you. Now that's the way you're thinking about our prayer language. You know, the ones of us that are filled with the Holy Ghost, and if you hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost, you hang around, we'll get you filled with the Holy Ghost, and God's got a prayer language, and actually, the prayer language helps you to understand so many things. I mean, sometimes I just stop. I can get myself in a jam, especially around the farm down there. And sometimes I just have to stop and pray in the Holy Ghost to try to figure out, how do I get this out of here now that I've got it in? Because I'm good at putting it in the wrong place. I had the right idea, but the wrong way. Y'all ever do that? I mean, I'm half right. Half right ain't real good sometimes on the farm. But anyway, so I pray in tongues a lot. And you get me on a lawnmower, I'll put Keith in my ear or somebody, and I'll pray in tongues the whole time. And then, of course, I drink a lot of water, but that's all right, too. Anyway, so he says his prayer language with him, and so he could pray for all that concerns you. Now, that's it. In order to accomplish that goal, the Holy Spirit, I'm rereading that sentence, the Holy Spirit brought his own prayer language with him so he could pray for all that concerns you, or, you know, concerns me. With that prayer language, he gets involved directly with you in a one-on-one relationship that is independent of anyone else, even of your own mind. Now, I realize that some of y'all are so doggone smart, you don't need maybe the Holy Ghost like I do. But see, I'm not one of those that's real smart, so I needed the Holy Ghost. And when I got the Holy Ghost and I got my prayer language, buddy, I didn't never not use it, because I need wisdom. I need direction. I need enlightenment. Sometimes you just come up on something and you just don't know. And you don't even know somebody that you can ask. Now, me, I used to corner Carrie and his boy out there about, I was making me a little rig out there in the backyard. I had me a little cabin, you know, I had a little metal thing I was putting together, and I poured me a little cement bottom. And if I asked them one question for about a week and a half, I don't know how many questions. If he'd have charged me by the question, I would be broke, I'm sure. But, you know, we need something, and when we need something, it's so nice to have it in your pocket, so to speak. And that's where the Holy Ghost is. He's right there with us. He's in us. He works with us. I tell you, I need him every day. With that prayer language, he gets involved directly with you in a one-on-one relationship that is independent of anyone else, even of your own mind. When the Holy Spirit prays for you, he takes the plan he hears from the Father, utters and pours it through your spirit. Now, did y'all get that? He takes the plan that he has heard from the Father God, utter and pours it through my spirit. And the language he uses to express that plan as it flows through me is the supernatural language of tongues. Every time you give the Holy Spirit opportunity, he will use that language to pray for your calling, pray out the plan of God, to edify you, to charge you with his holy power. He will lend himself to you as your faith allows him to be activated within your spirit. He will pull you out of everything Jesus set you free from and into everything Jesus says that you are in him. Did you get that statement? That is a very, very powerful statement. The Holy Spirit, now I'm going to read it to you one more time. The Holy Spirit, he says he will pull you out. Now, you can't imagine that Lucy Baker ever needed to be pulled out of a jam. Well, there's been more jams than I can count. I mean, you know, I can count pretty good, but they're just out there. And I've done some things that when that little girl, praise God, that dog missed both of those major arteries in her neck, because the pictures are not good, and that dog mauled her in the face and her neck. So I mean, she a little old thing, it looked like she's about two, maybe, I don't know. But he could have killed her like that. And sometimes I've been in places that, you know, I look back afterwards. Y'all ever look back afterwards and go, ooh, that was really pretty close. Man, whew, you know, boy, I'm glad I got out of that and didn't even know I was in it sometimes. But anyway, you know, that's me. Every time you give the Holy Spirit opportunity, he will use the language to pray for your calling. That's one. He'll pray out the plan of God to edify you. That's two. He will pray out the plan of God. That's two. To edify you is three. And to charge you with his holy power. He will lend himself to you as your faith allows him to be activated within your spirit. He will pull you out of everything Jesus set you free from and into everything Jesus says that you are in him. So that he pulls me out of stuff because I can get in it. And he puts me into those places that I need to be. And nobody probably knew me any better than my mama. And I'm sure she had to pray in the Holy Ghost or she would have been a very worried woman. And so, you know, so she just knew that me and Julie were on the farm back in when we were kids. We were wide open. It didn't matter what we were driving. If we was on a tractor, we would race with our neighbors because they had a gas tractor and we had a diesel tractor, and we were always trying to beat them. But I mean, we did things that outside of the goodness of God and the prayers that my mama prayed and my grandmothers and all the ones around us. Oh, you might not have never known me. Gee. That might be good for some of you, but anyway. Let me read to you Isaiah. I'm going to start in Isaiah 61. And if you're interested in this book, I have a copy and I know how to get them. So if you're interested, it's a big book for me. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good things, good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." So God has done these things in us and for us. And one of the biggest tools, and I don't mean to sound like a toolbox type thing, but one of the greatest things that ever can happen to us besides getting saved and getting born again so that we could receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit or receive the comforter to come and live with us and help us, is that this is the second thing. You know, it's like they say, you have more than one grace. The first grace is we gotta get saved. And praise God, I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad I got saved when I did, as a little kid. Even though in there somewheres it was kind of, not the best. But I still didn't get, praise God, I didn't die during that time. That's one thing I can say, because I kind of wavered. I don't know if y'all ever wavered, but when you get saved at about 8 or 9, 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 is coming. And well, praise God, that's all I got to say about that, you know. But, you know, I'm thankful, and I'm thankful that even the night that my father died and all, When he died, it was sudden. It was at home, and we didn't know. And it was one of those things that you go in there, and he's in the floor because he had a heart attack. And he only had one, and that was it. And by the time, of course, that was back in the days when you didn't have any ambulances. We actually called the people in Moultrie that had a funeral home, and they came down in the hearse. And they took him to Thomasville to the hospital, but of course he was dead on arrival. And but anyway, that's one of those things that we always have to live with, and we live, you know, and that's the grace of God. Praying with power. This little book is maybe one of the most concentrated, chogged full of information and anointing than I think I've ever tried to read. I mean, matter of fact, I hate to tell you this, but I don't really know how to teach you this book without reading you about two-thirds of it. Because there's no way to say it any better than the way Terry wrote it. So I hope that you have read it, and then you can say, well, you know, she did good. She read it right. Maybe that might be the way. The power of God, that more than any other thing is what we desperately need today, the power of God. The Bible tells us very plainly in James 5:16, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. That's the amplified version of James 5:16. And that is what we need, and we need it every day. I need it every day. Matter of fact, I don't need it just once every day. I need it all the time. But he says here that it's the heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. And we must learn, we, all of us, must learn to stand up in the power of prayer and take dominion, bringing the will of God to pass on earth as it is in heaven. You know, as I've been reading this little book, and I was asking the Lord questions about how, I don't know how to teach something that is just jam full. I really don't. But the more I read it, the more I realized that we don't, or I didn't, realize how much or how important that being filled with the Holy Spirit, I knew that was important, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit and then to be able to walk and talk to people in our realm right here. I mean, he wants us to be just like him. I mean, you know, we get to that point. Now, I'm going to turn the page, and I mean, that's all I'm going to be able to tell you that. She says here, and I said it like this because I've got things written in here because I've changed the book to be for me. I don't know about how you write in your book, but I write in my book for me. And so you don't want to read mine. But it says, yes, you're destined and designed by God to be a ruler of the earth. I am, that's what I said up there, I am. And as a believer, I'm in position by him to reign in the greater realm of the Spirit. I don't think, even though I have felt like in my life that, I don't want to say I was important, but I felt like that I was doing something. You know, I wasn't, you know, well, when I'm not messing up, at least I'm not making a mess. So therefore, I'm doing something by just not making a mess. But when you start to read this, and this is the first page. I mean, well, it's not the first page, it's the second page. But when she starts to talk about that all of us, we've been born again and we've been granted that position. We are blessed to be in the place we are with God. I mean, after all, you could think, God didn't have to have us. I mean, you know, sometimes when I go to somebody's house and I'm dirty, and they still let me in, they didn't have to let me in dirty. They could have been nice and said, you go back and get a bath and we'll be glad for you to come in. You know, because I kept kind of dirty. But she says here that we are granted this position. And then she begins to call out this. She's coming from a scripture here. Raised him from the dead. She's talking about Jesus. We're in Christ, whom God raised from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. He has set us. We have been called up. And that's not called up to be cussed out. You know, that's called up to be clear about where we're supposed to be. And our place, y'all, I can't imagine. I don't know if I have been really that clear with myself that God has put me in a place. And I'm not trying to bat brag for any means. I mean, you know, I don't think like that. But at the same time, God has put us in a place that is awesome. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, if God didn't place us there and bring us up to that place, and give us free reign to come and use the word of God and come and use the blood of Jesus and speak to things. I mean, we would be a sad group. And obviously, the ones that don't know Jesus and haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost and don't know anything about the things of God, they are sad. And some of them, they're seeking. And no wonder they're doing all the stupid stuff, the, you know, whether it's drink it, eat it, smoke it, you know, whatever. They're doing that because they don't know who they are. Man, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we can go to Him. We can appear before His throne, if you want to say it like that. I mean, we can actually one-to-one. I mean, you know, sometimes people get these ideas about, you know, maybe actors or politicians or presidents or something. What if I can meet so-and-so? Or somebody's coming to town that does this and this and this, and you can go see them if you want to, and you might get an autograph or something. No, no, no. We can walk in to the throne room of the Most High God. I mean, I can sit at my table, which needs to be cleaned off if anybody's been in my kitchen lately. You know, I can sit there and be in His presence. And He can speak to me, and He can direct me, and He can stop me sometimes before I get too stupid. Because, you know, I call it stupid on my part sometimes. Sometimes I do things and I wonder, why did I do that? Because, I mean, sometimes I've looked back and went, that was close. I don't know if y'all drive like me sometimes, but sometimes, you know, it's just like, shoo, and you go, ooh, that was close. Thank you, Jesus. But these are the places that we can go because, guess what? We have been set up. He says, all of us who's been born again can be granted this position. And then he starts to name off all these positions. Whom he raised from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named. Every name that is named. And he says on in Ephesians, he talks about that he sets us in heavenly places in Christ. He has brought us up. Now, I ain't never been on, I mean, I'm not a druggie, okay? Let's get that clear. I don't take trips with you know, drugs. But, I mean, in the spirit realm, I can't tell you how many times I realize that I've been caught up sometimes just driving in the car. I'm by myself, you know, and it's just like the presence of the Lord just comes in there, and I'm still praying in the Holy Ghost and driving. But He comes in there. Because you know what? He'll commune with us. He'll come in. He'll guide us. He'll direct us. And when He's doing that, He's making us very, very important. I mean, we're sitting together in heavenly places in Christ. I mean, that's what we're doing. I mean, we're with Him. Now, He may be in my car, but my spirit may be up the road a little further. It may be a little higher than me in the car. But you see, we have that as a privilege. I mean, it's a gift. He's made us. I believe Teresa was saying a while ago to us up there in the music that she'd had a thing with a dog, and you know, and you have to get through the fear. And this little girl, I don't know, my niece sent me the picture. She don't look like she's about two, maybe three, little old thing. And that dog could have killed her so easy. She's mauled on the face. But Teresa reminded us when we were talking up there before we sang. She said, it's hard to get rid of that fear. So, you know, that little girl's going to get well in the name of Jesus, and that little girl's going to get away from anything that would hurt, but she's going to get away from fear. And basically Megan knows her, so if nothing else, we'll go pray for her when she gets well, she comes home. But you know, that's a real thing, is to not be haunted by fear, some type of fear. And you know what? There's a lot of us that have to deal with some type of fear. Fear comes in almost every size, in almost every color and flavor. Because just as sure as we can have faith, Satan can try to fill you up with fear. And that's not what we want. That's not what God wants for us. Anyway, he begins to talk to us about the things that this is important for you to know, because prayer is actually an act of domination. Domination. That means that when I'm speaking the word of God, when I'm praying about something, that I am actually in a position to dominate. Now, we don't think like that. I don't think I've ever thought exactly like that until I began to read this little book. But they go on and say, my job in prayer is to find the will of God concerning a particular situation, take hold of it in faith, refuse to let go until this natural world submits to spiritual truth. God's will is carried out in that situation. Now, when he comes by us and he says, now, you know, he lets us know that we can do this. There's a lot of times that we just have to be told, encouraged, you know, see a picture. I mean, there's just all, you know, God's got plenty of ways to commune with us and to let us know that you can do this. You can do this. And I'll be right there and I'll help you. But the Spirit of the Lord, it's important to know, because prayer is actually an act of domination. My job in prayer is to find the will of God concerning a particular situation, take hold of it in faith, refuse to let go until this natural world just submits, and God's will is carried out in that situation. Now, I know that sounds simple. I know it sounded simple when I read it to myself. But when you find the will of God about a particular thing, when you find that will of God and you take hold of it in faith. Now, I'm not talking about hold of it in a natural way. I mean, we're going to use our faith. We're going to look out there and say, now, bless God, we ain't going to be too hot and we ain't going to be so dry and so hot that everything starts to die. No, sir, we're going to get a hold of them rain clouds, and we're going to call for that rain, and we're going to pray and believe. But that's what they're talking about right here. And refuse to let go until the natural world submits to the spiritual truth. God's will is carried out in that situation. I am going to realize, and I am going to see if I can, you know, stir us up. We are the executors of those words. It is up to us to get a hold of this. And baby, if you want to think of it as kicking the devil out or running over him or whatever, however you want to see it. But basically, you are in charge, and you have the right to tell the devil where to go. Now, I don't really, you know, think that sometimes people say that in joke, and then they'll say, "Well, I'll just tell him to go to hell." Well, you know, and I'm not sure that they believe what they're doing right there. They are probably just funning around, you know, cutting up. But the thing of it is we have to tell him where he's going, and we have to stand on the word of God. And see, they're just talking about being an ex. We got to do what the will of God says in this earth for us, for our family. I mean, that's just it's on us to do this. And I love this, because she says in this next paragraph, I got a kick out of it. She said, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Subdue it and have dominion. Now, you know what I wrote there? Be the boss. Be the boss. I mean, you know, I don't care if it's a dog next door. Me and the dog next door is not having a good summer here right now. Me and the dog next door, and I think some of y'all seen that dog. He's a young German Shepherd, and he can jump over the fence. Isn't that good? So anyway, but I'm going to be boss. One way or the other, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be boss because it's my property. And I have the right to be boss. You understand? So, but God, one man entered into this world and sent us into to death by sin. But we had one man, Jesus, that came and he took that away. And that's a bad that's a bad way to say Romans 5:12, but that's the truth. Because we, if it was left up to me or to you, I'm gonna put you in this too, all of us. But if it was left up to me, I wouldn't be able to get us out. Because I you know, sooner or later somebody's gonna make me mad, the dog or something, and I'm gonna get all riled up and my red hair's gonna show out and you know, and then I'm gonna have to repent because I'm a lot of things. Hard headed is one. Mr. Wayne will tell you that. He'll tell you she's a little hard-headed. But, you know, the thing of it is we are to be the one that will direct this thing. In this earth, we are the one that has to do it. And it's not gonna happen any other way. The world rocks and reels under the impact of that sin because through it, the dominion and authority that he had been given by God to man fell into the hands of the devil. Now, and we already understand that. We understand that from reading Romans 7, 8, 9, right in there, 10. Satan has his place in this earth. And he does certain things because he can. Because most of the time he does it when we are not on watch. And when I say we, I'm talking about the body of Christ. The ones of us that have been saved and filled with the Spirit of God, saved by the blood of Jesus. And I'm not talking, hey, look, you don't have to speak in tongues and be filled with the Holy Ghost to be saved. The blood of Jesus washes us clean. The blood of Jesus also protects us. The blood of Jesus is our medium of everything. I mean, it's our lifeline. It is what we have to have, and with what we have to, and I'm gonna tell you, if you don't pray and use the blood of Jesus and talk about it, I do. I mean, that dog don't want none of that blood now. He don't want none of that. I just ain't figured out how to get it on him quite yet. I've been throwing it at him. I've been speaking to him, but I ain't caught him yet. You know, but we have to. We have to be able to use the blood of Jesus. I know the time is going on, and I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I'm not going to come back next Wednesday night and try to teach this book to you because I ain't never been good at reading a book, and that's about all it would be because this book, if you don't have one, I'll get you one because I'm not sure we got any. We may have some left. But you need one of these books because she puts it on. And she makes it real, real clear. But I want to read you something that God did for me, and it's from Brother Hagin's son, Ken Jr. And he wrote this, and I got some. Just bear with me a minute. You can make it through the fire. As believers, we're going to face trials and tribulations. We're going to come under fire. Why? Because Satan is the enemy of God. And he wants to hinder anyone who's following the Lord's plan for his or her life. That's why it's so important for us to know what to do when we're in a spiritual battle. First, we must remember that we already have the victory. We're not trying to overcome or make it through. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph, possession in Christ." These verses tell us that God leads us from place to place in one never-ending parade. Hallelujah. No matter what fire we're facing, our victory has already been won in Christ. Second, we must remember that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Isaiah 43:2. "When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you." In the middle of the biggest trial, when the fire is burning the hottest, never forget that God is with you. He will bring you through unharmed if you'll put your faith in Him. Don't be discouraged if you're in a spiritual fight right now. Dig in to this issue and build yourself up. Now, I want to go back for a second and tell you that one day, it's been years ago, I was reading this. This is something Kenneth Jr. put in the front of their book. And I was reading along, and usually I don't read out loud. I mean, it was just me, and I usually would just have read it. But for some reason that day, I was reading out loud. And when I got to the thing about the fire, and he started that sentence, "When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned, the flames will not consume you." And then it said, and then at that point, I read this, "Stir up the fire within you, and God's fire within will consume the fire without." And I kept right on reading and read that last line about don't be discouraged. When I realized what I'd said, I wrote it down. Because what I just said was not what was on the paper. I had never heard that before in my life. I was just reading. And when I got to that one line, and it was the line about in the middle of your biggest trial, when the fire's burning the hottest, da da da. But when I started to read that, out of my mouth came, "Stir up the fire within you, and God's fire within will consume the fire without." And he even gave me a Jeremiah 23:29. That was the most amazing thing that I think I've ever had happen to me like that. Because I did not put those words in there. Matter of fact, I had never heard those words. It was like I read it right off the paper. Matter of fact, I looked back and I said, "What did I say?" And I said, "That ain't what that said." And anyway, I wrote what the Lord had me say, the Holy Ghost had me say right there. But the other line's still up there. But he said, now this is the Holy Ghost, he said, "Stir up the fire that's within you." That's the Holy Ghost. That's salvation. That's the Word of God. He said, "Stir up the fire that's within you, and God's fire within will consume the fire without." I'm going to tell you, that was a good word, and I needed it at that point, and I ain't never forgot it because I wrote it on this, and I got several copies of this so I can keep up with it. But the Holy Ghost put that in there. He took out his little old line. His line wasn't bad, but it wasn't right then as good as that. Father, I just thank you this evening, Lord, that these people love me enough to let me ramble and talk. And I appreciate them, Lord. I appreciate them. And I know when they go home, they're going to pray for this little baby. And they're going to pray for all the ones that we know we need to pray for. And, Lord, we're just grateful for all the ones that are getting ready to go back to school. Some of them's already gone back to school, to the high schools and around here schools. But, Lord, we just bless you. We thank you for all the good things that you've done because you have a fire within us. There's a Holy Ghost fire. To do the right things, to help, and to receive the things that you have for us, because Lord God, you are so good. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, and we just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if you want one of these books, I'll find some. I don't know if I got any right now, but I'm going to probably get some more because... Do what? You got one?
About halfway through, I couldn't take no more, so I had...
I'm the same way. I've been reading it. Chewing on it. You know, one of those things. I reckon I need to turn this thing off, I don't know. You turn me off back there, Mike.